In this podcast, we will consider why a client might use a discounted gift trust by looking at its structure and life cycle. A discounted gift trust can help a client reduce their inheritance tax liability whilst retaining access to a tax-efficient income stream. From day one, there is the potential to receive an immediate reduction in their inheritance tax liability, with the whole gift being outside their estate after 7 years. On commencement, the client is entitled to receive an income stream, which continues until their death or the funds are exhausted. Effectively, the client is exchanging part of their initial investment for this stream of payments, and this is known as the discount. To establish the discount, we need to underwrite the client, taking into account the level of income required, the age and health of each client, and interest rates. Where the client is younger and healthier, the discount will be higher, as the income stream will potentially continue for longer. But if the client is older or in poor health, then the payments may not continue for as long, so the discount would be lower, or potentially they may not receive a discount at all. Discounts can vary between providers. Here at Canada Life, we adhere to HMRC guidance, as this reduces the chance of the discount being challenged in the future. Remember that the guidance states that a settler over 90 or rated over 90 cannot receive a discount, and once the accumulated 5% tax deferred allowance has been exhausted, the client must be treated as a higher rate taxpayer, irrespective of their actual tax liability. The transfer into the trust is the loss to the client's estate. This is the difference between the amount being invested and the discount calculated. So provided a discount is received, it is possible to gift more than the client's available nil rate band without triggering an immediate inheritance tax liability. Also, the client's rights must be carved out correctly. Within our trust, the client's right to receive the income stream is correctly carved out by being held under a bare trust for the settler. The gifted part is then held on either a bare or discretionary trust, which the client cannot benefit from. When considering a discounted gift trust, you need to understand what is included in the tax deferred allowance, what happens on the death of a settler and or life assured, if the bond is on a life assured basis, and if a discretionary trust is used, periodic and exit charges. Where a discounted gift trust is written on a life assured basis, the settler or their spouse cannot be lives assured. This is to ensure that there are no issues with the gift with the reservation rules. As you are all probably aware, each year a client can withdraw 5% of the premium paid into the bond without an immediate tax liability. But remember, it is not just the income stream that the client is receiving that uses the 5% allowance. Any ongoing advisor fees are also included, and fund advisor fees, unless these are being taken as a policy fee. If the withdrawals go above the 5% allowance, then the excess would be a chargeable event. It is important to remember that the ongoing advice is given to the trustees, so should be paid for from the trust fund. As the death of the last life assured gives rise to a benefit, it is a chargeable event, and a chargeable gain will occur if the total benefits received under the bond exceed the premiums paid plus any previous gains that might have occurred. Where a bare trust has been used, if the client is still alive, you need to separate out the retained and gifted rights, which may mean that a discount calculation is required. The retained portion is taxed on the client and the gifted portion is taxed on the beneficiary. In comparison, where the bond is subject to a discretionary trust, the whole gain is assessed on the client if they are UK resident and alive. If not, it would normally be assessed on the trustees. If the client is alive on the death of the last life assured, the trustees will need to reinvest the money. But if they have previously died, the trustees can distribute the death benefit to the beneficiaries or reinvest and hold for them. If the client dies before the lives assured, the bond continues. Where there are two clients, on the death of one, the bond withdrawals will continue to the survivor at the same level. Once the client or both have died, the trustee's main duty to provide an income ceases and effectively the trust becomes a gift trust, where the trustees manage the fund for the benefit of the beneficiaries. Remember, if it is a bare trust and the beneficiaries are over 18, they can demand the money. However, with a discretionary trust, it is up to the trustees who benefits and when. When a discretionary trust is used, you need to understand when inheritance tax might be payable. When money goes into a discretionary trust, it is deemed to be a chargeable lifetime transfer. And whilst money is held in the trust, there is the potential for periodic and exit charges. Remember that the chargeable lifetime transfer is the discounted value, not the full investment amount. On each and every 10th anniversary, if the value of the trust fund plus any distributions made to beneficiaries exceeds the trust's available nil rate band, there will be a periodic charge of 6% payable on the excess. When establishing the value of the trust fund, if the client is still alive, the trustees still have an obligation to provide an income, so you need to recalculate the discount. HMRC have stated that this discount can be based on the original actuarial calculation plus 10 years. But remember, once the client is over 90, no discount is received, and also, if the client has previously died, there will be no discount. As the client's right to receive the regular income is carved out and held on a bare trust, it is not classed as a distribution from the discretionary trust and therefore does not need to be included at the 10 yearly anniversaries. Finally, in order to establish the trust's available nil rate band, you need to look back 7 years from the start of the trust and see whether there are any chargeable lifetime transfers sitting in that 7 year window. If there are, these need to be deducted from the nil rate band before the periodic charge is calculated. So, a discounted gift trust allows a client to receive a regular income whilst potentially receiving an immediate reduction in their inheritance tax liability. Once they have survived for 7 years, the whole gift is outside their estate for inheritance tax, with the growth being outside from day one. If a discount is received, they can potentially invest more than the nil rate band. Remember that this income stream cannot be stopped or varied as the discount is based on it, so the client needs to ensure that they need the money, because if the withdrawals sit in a bank account and are unspent, this will add to their inheritance tax problems. I hope this podcast has given you an understanding of what a discounted gift trust can offer your clients and why a client might use one. Thank you for listening.